just gonna sing that. And we just know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So just lift up your hands and just praise Him. Just let the worship flow out of your mouth. Thank you, Jesus.
And chains be broken and lives be healed. You're a healer and eyes be open. Christ is revealed. And chains be broken.
Something as simple as you missed the bus, so God got somebody to give you a ride somewhere. Or it could be that God delivered you from an addiction, God delivered you from a toxic relationship. Whatever it is, God is awesome. His creation is awesome. His Son is awesome. God, everything about you is so absolutely mind-blowing. We can't even comprehend how much you love us.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome.
Come on, sing it out.
Straight.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My God is awesome.
Come on, sing it.
Heals me when yes, I'm broken. Strength when
come on,
I'm
he's your strength
weak.
When you're weak. Come on, church, and sing again. My God is awesome. Come on, sing. He can move your mountain this morning. Hallelujah. He meets you in the valley. Hide you. Yes, sing it again. My God, he heals you. He heals you when you're broken. Come on, come on. Sing it again, my God. My God, I serve an awesome God. Yes, he is. I said, he is awesome. Come on, he is awesome. Sing it again. My God is awesome. You know he is. I said he is this morning. He is awesome. Awesome. Sing, he's holy. Come on. I said he is holy. You know my God is a holy God. Yes, oh, he's my deliverer. I said he delivers. He came to deliver you this morning. He's gonna deliver you. Yes, he is. You know he is your healer. Yes, he is.
My healer.
He's my healer.
Awesome.
Your provider.
Provider.
Come on.
Provider.
Yes, amen. Provider. Come on, let's provider. Worship him together
awesome.
This morning. Who he is.
Awesome.
One more time, my deliverer.
Deliverer.
Come on, get it in your spirit this morning.
Yes,
amen.
Hide me from the rain.
Yes, he can.
My God is awesome.
He's going to heal you.
Heals me when I'm
when you're broken.
Strength where I'm
weak. Yes, amen.
Forever.
Sing it again.
My God is awesome.
You know he is. You to sing it till you get it in your spirit this morning. You serve an awesome God. My God is on. He's gonna heal you right where you are this morning. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Sing it again, my God. Hallelujah. that. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord God, that every chain is broken off. Lord God, whatever we came in with right now in the name of Jesus, I ask that everybody raise their hand. I don't care if you go half mast. Raise your hand in this place this morning. God wants to touch every single one of you. He can touch you in your seat. Wherever you are, raise your hand. Whatever it is that you have going on, whatever it is that slowed you down this week, whatever it is that you're so caught up in and you can't let go of, he's saying, let it be mine. I want it. He's given you permission to release it to him today. Hallelujah. Call it out right now in the name of Jesus. We just speak right now that these things, Lord God, that so easily beset us, those things, Lord God, that have captivated our lives, Lord, we release them right now into your hands. Lord, we ask that, Lord God, you would remove the burdens. That, Father, even as some have felt that weariness in well-doing, in the name of Jesus, I speak a supernatural strength would come into our spirits. That our hearts would be stirred, Lord God. That we're not here in church just to sit in a seat, but we're here to serve an awesome and mighty God. You are awesome. You are awesome. Jesus, when you are awesome, that means everything else below us means absolutely nothing. When we can declare out of our mouths that you are awesome, that means nothing else is in the way. That means nothing else can steal our joy because you are awesome. Hallelujah. You are awesome. You are awesome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're worthy. We declare that word awesome. When we speak that amazing word and declare him as awesome, there's something that breaks forth in the supernatural because we're speaking and declaring who he is and what he is, and that we're actually declaring over our lives life and not death. When we say, you're awesome, we declare that he is inside of us and that no matter what we got going on, he still is awesome. He is awesome. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for giving us the opportunity this morning to come into your house to worship an awesome God. An amazing Father, the great I am. Father, as we lift our hands, Lord, we set aside every single thought and imagination would rise itself up against you. And Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you have your way in this building today. We ask that you have your way in our lives today. That, Lord God, that when we open up our spirits to receive from your throne room, that, Father God, we're changed, we're transformed, we are moved to do something different when we walk out of these doors. Father, this morning, we give you permission, Holy Ghost. Do whatever you desire. Do whatever you want. Have your way. Forgive us, Father, for looking to those things that get us so caught up to where we lose focus, we lose control. This morning, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that you've purified us, you've made us new. And we ask that you forgive us, Lord God. Make us right in your eyes. Change us today. In the name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? Listen, on your way back to your seat, make sure that you get out of your seat, or on your way back, go introduce yourself to somebody you do not know. That means that you've got to get out of your comfort zone. Amen.
Take me in the valley, hide me from the rain. got a blank page, a story they're writing today, a wall that they're climbing. You can carry the past on your shoulders. You can start over, regrets, no matter.
Hi, I'm Diane Hughes.
And I'm Deb Willis.
And we're co-leading Divorce Care. What is Divorce Care, you ask?
Divorce Care is a 13-week program for those that are divorced or separated, offering emotional support and spiritual guidance during this turbulent time in your life.
We know from personal experience how difficult it is to fit in, and we're here to help. Come and meet with us on Tuesday nights starting February 9th from 5:30 to 7 in Classroom 1.
$20 covers the cost of the class and the workbook. Yes, there is homework. Come and join us. We hope to see you there.
We would love to invite you to Pastor Spencer's 50th birthday party. The gray hair is a sign for celebration. So on April 1st, for $60, we're going to be hosting a birthday party at the Harbor Inn Hotel in Watkins Glen. If you would love to join us, you can see somebody out at the hub or follow the link right here. We would love to see you. We're excited about it. Go give them a hug for us today.
Grace and peace, people of God. I'm here to let you know this, that we have a class designed especially for you. It's called Catch the Vision. You want to take part in this class because this class will show and tell you how this church came into its being. Yes, we are affecting thousands of people's lives, and you need to know the history behind your church. You need to understand that this class will take place every first and second Sunday of every month in classroom number 1. Meet us there in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. All right, I have a quick question, and that is, did everybody have an opportunity to get out of your seat and meet somebody you didn't know? Y'all are just going to say yes to, you know, so that you don't have to do it again. Amen. Well, we want to welcome the guests of the house this morning. We don't want to, you know, blow your spot up or anything, but we'd like to welcome you. So if you are a first-time guest in the house this morning, if you could just, you know, slightly raise your hand. We'd like to get you a guest pack, and we have a gift for you. Do we have any guests in the house this morning? Amen. Nobody wants to raise in. Awesome. Awesome. We got somebody. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's give our guests a round of applause, please. Now, listen, folks, for you that are here, this is your house. We need to be inviting these people. We need to be inviting our friends, our family, those that we just walk into and don't know. We got something to offer and something to give. So we just want to make sure that we're always inviting somebody out to the house. Also, real quick, we want to welcome our online campus, our live streamers. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We want to welcome you to His Tabernacle this morning at 9 a.m. Also, real quick, for those of you that have a phone, smartphone, not a flip phone, smartphones. Anybody have a smartphone in the house this morning? Just get right on to Facebook on His Tabernacle real quick and just hit the check-in button. It's an opportunity for us to get the word out there to the community. We have so many friends on Facebook, and it is an opportunity. It's like a free evangelistic tool that we have where we can check in. So make sure that this morning you get on Facebook, you get into your His Tabernacle, and just check in real quick and make sure that we're getting the news out there. Real quick, we want to give Pastor Chad and Pastor Jane an opportunity to talk about the new ministry.
Good morning, church. It's great to be here. Like we announced last week, we are starting Awaken on Tuesday. So 6 p.m. Tuesday, we're starting doing it in the sanctuary. We're going to have a bunch of people come out. We're going to have some coffee. And what we're going to do is we're really just going to have it to be a connect and vision night. And so we just want to cast the vision. We really want to let you guys catch the heart of the ministry. So if you are in the age groups, and because I talked with my dad and he said we should make it a little older. So if you are out of high school all the way up until 28 years old, you are welcome here. and you can come on Tuesday and and you can come in and fellowship with us. And so it's going to be casting vision. We're going to meet a bunch of people. We're going to have a blast. We might even play some games. So we would love to have you guys. We're going to launch a Facebook page hopefully today. So go on Facebook, like us, share us, and we'd love to hear from you guys again. And if you're between the ages, if you're graduated from high school, the 28, can you just raise your hand quick? There's nothing like, you know, fibbing in church. Thank you guys so much.
A lot of 28 and youngers out there, huh? Wasn't this morning awesome? Awesome. I love coming to the house on Sunday. I love worship. I love the word. But really, I'm here to do what is my favorite part of the service. Yeah, I love to give to the Lord. My wife and I love it. It's our favorite time of service. To be honest with you, it wasn't always true. There was a time when I found out what tithing was, I said, what? You got to be crazy. I worked hard for my money. That's my money. I remember when I was younger buying groceries, put them in the cupboard, and protecting those things. But I had to eventually eat those groceries. And sometimes, you know, I realize that the more we protect things, the more we keep blessings from coming in. But anyhow, I got saved, gave my heart to Jesus, and I still didn't believe in a tithe because I didn't understand it. But then one day I had a gentleman impart some wisdom to me. And it was about giving to the Lord. And I thank God for him because really what I did is I tried it. I gave to the Lord once. We gave again. It was good. We gave again. And before you know it, the spiritual receptivity just happened. We started to have our eyes open. We started to draw closer to the Lord. There was barriers that came down because we actually started to give to the Lord. So there's many more things that we, you know, that we can achieve through giving. We've been blessed financially, supernaturally blessed. If you knew my testimony, you would just say, how can it happen? The only way is God. I have a beautiful marriage, a beautiful wife who's not 28. She'll be 50 in a couple months. But look at her. She's just beautiful. We've received divine appointments and divine promotions, all because of God. You see, I feel like when we seed, when we give to God, that God goes ahead of us, and he does what our abilities can't do. It's true. It's absolutely true. I'm living proof. If I gave my testimony, y'all would say, it's God. It is for sure. When we think of Jesus, that should be all it takes to motivate us to give. You know, what he did for us, he gave of great value for you and me. And when you and I give, we're giving value to another human being. I can promise you one thing in this house. When you sacrifice and you give something of value in this house, somebody else that needs something is getting something of value. That's just the way it is in this house. So really, is there any other motivation to give? Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Stand with me for a minute, please. Father, I just thank you for this house. I thank you for the vision of this house. Lord, you have awesome things planned here. You have awesome people serving in this church, God. And I just thank you for each and every person in this church, every leader. I thank you for every congregant of this church, Lord. It's an awesome place to serve, and I know you have awesome things ahead for us. God, we just give you all the glory. I pray that you'll bless the gift, the offering, and the givers. So let's shout out our supernatural proclamation. This is my favorite part. Raise it up, honey. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The mountains are chasing me down, and they're tripping me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come and give your offerings to the Lord. If you're watching on live stream, I just challenge you to give. If you'd like to give, if you'd like to receive the blessings of God through giving, just go online and hit giving, and it'll take you through the process. Thank you. Be blessed.
How is everybody this morning? God is great, amen? Let's stand together. I want to sing a chorus that is older than me, I think. Goes like this. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Let's sing it again. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. one more time because you're finally learning it. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, for He hath done great things. Oh, He has done great things. Oh, He has done great things. Bless His holy name. One more time, sing it again. For He has... Come on. Come on, church. Yes. Come on. Sing it this morning. Oh, He has done great... Yes, amen. For He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Oh, I said one more time, but you're finally starting to sing it like you believe it. If you've came in here this morning and you're going, God, have You done great things? You need to sing it out this morning. For He has done. You have to proclaim it this morning. Amen. I said He has. For He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Now we're going to sing it again. As we sing it this time, let's raise our hands and surrender to Him. For He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Come on, give yourself a round of applause this morning as you are seated. God bless you. God has done great things. Amen. I got to ask you, we're a couple weeks into the new year. Has the year went great so far? So it's been pretty well perfect for all of you. You're staying on to your regiment, your whatever you call it, the New Year's resolution. Everything has been smooth. The whole year is just going to be a smooth year, right? Awesome, that's right. So I see some people that are honest and they're shaking their head and they're saying, no, it hasn't started out right. And you know what? Most likely, the whole year is not going to be easy. It's not going to be perfect. I hate to burst your bubble this morning. There will probably be times when your faith will be tested. Amen. I watched a movie called War Room. Has anybody saw that movie? Good movie. Amen. If you don't have a prayer life and you watch that movie, it'll cause you to get one. Amen. If your prayer life is weak and you watch that movie, it'll get you back into the routine of things, amen? And I'll tell you what, I've been experiencing some good times with God. I get up to go to work at 3 o'clock in the morning, but before I do anything, I grab a cup of coffee because the coffee helps me get my voice going, and I go into a dark room, and I begin to pray. I begin to seek the face of God for the year. Well, I started watching out and for the day and for my family. So as I started that this year, I felt like God spoke some things into my heart. I felt like He spoke a promise to me. And as we go into day one and day two and we continue out throughout the year, life starts to happen, amen? So 2 or 3 days into it, I had some trouble in my chest and really wasn't sure what it is and what it was and really don't care because I know that God takes care of me. So I don't even give it a thought. But a couple weeks ago, it bothered me so that I couldn't sing. But I said, you know what? It's God, You got this. You're a good doctor. I'll just trust in You. Well, that same day, the washer in my house quit working. And I'm going, okay, God, You're really testing me. But You're God. I really didn't want to have to buy a washer. I thought I'd be the handyman and fix it. Found out that after I tore it all apart, that it was cheaper just to go buy a new one. You know? And so the tests start rolling in, amen? And the problems continue to come. But even though we believe that God is going to take us to a new level, we have to realize that there are new trials, there are new tribulations, there are new things that are going to go on. And I'll tell you, I'll proclaim it from the pulpit this morning. I believe that God has taken me farther this year than I was last year, the years before, anything behind me, that's behind me. I only have what's in front of me this morning, amen? I said I only have what's in front of me. And I know what the Word of God says that's in front of me. He said that he gives me plans to prosper, amen. So I don't know about you, but if you want to go with me, let's go to those plans to prosper, amen. And I know that in my way to prosper, there's going to be some trials, there's going to be some tests, there's going to be some things that I'm going to go through. But guess what? God is able to sustain, amen. And so this morning, I wanted us to realize, and we sang a cappella on purpose, because this morning our message is about the kingdom seed, amen? Amen. What, this is the year of what?
Kingdom seed.
I said this is the year of?
Kingdom seed.
Now see, Pastor gets up here and he tells us to say that with him, but I believe he doesn't do that just because he likes to cheer us on, amen? By the way, I want to thank him and Pastor Rhonda for allowing me to preach across this desk this morning. And our prayers are with him and Pastor Rhonda as they are ministering in another church. And our Pastor Johnson, he's ministering in another church this morning. It's good to know that our church is full of preachers that can go out and share his tab all over. Amen. Amen. So it's the year of kingdom seed, and our verse for this year is Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to make you exercise. Can you stand again and we'll read this together? I'll keep you awake that way. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to prosper in all we do. Amen. Because why? Because we're going to plant seeds throughout this year that come back a perpetual harvest. I heard Pastor talk about that last week, that when we continue to plant seed, we continue to get a perpetual harvest. And so the message of this week's sermon is, praise is the seed out of your problems. Praise is the seed out of your problems. Now, being a praise and worship leader, I love to preach about praise, and I love to preach about worship. And as a praise and worship leader, you need to know that we as praise and worship leaders are tested in what we do. And you know, like I said, when it was all right to deal with having some discomfort in my body, but when I had discomfort in my body and my wife's going, we're going to have to wash clothes this week, and I'm not going to the laundromat, I'm thinking of two things. Somehow I got to fix the washer, or I'm going to the laundromat. And you know, I just didn't want to go to the laundromat. I'm thinking fixing the washer was easier. And I was struggling. And so, my body didn't feel good, and I get the screwdriver out and start to take the washer all apart and look at it, and I'm going, okay, first of all, I got to figure out what's wrong with it. And really, I'm not the washer repair man. The Maytag man is the washer repair man. I'm the truck driver. I'm the construction worker. I'm the praise worship leader. So I get into it, and I'm going, oh, this is not fun, and I don't feel good, and I'd rather just sit down and do nothing on this Sunday afternoon. And the Spirit of God said to me, rejoice. Rejoice. And, of course, the enemy hits you, and he says, why would you want to rejoice? What's there to rejoice about? You're fixing the washer on a Sunday afternoon, and there's no place where you can go get parts, so why would you want to rejoice? And again, the Spirit of God says to me, rejoice, because I've done great things. I have done great things. You need to rejoice. And you know, throughout the past few weeks, there's been tests. There's been times when I've not wanted to rejoice, but God says to me, rejoice. You need to rejoice. And so praise expresses admiration, appreciation, and thanks. Again, and just, we're going to go through a little introduction here before we really get preaching, but praise expresses admiration, appreciation, and thanks. Praise is referred to throughout all the book of Psalms. If you want to know about praise and worship, read Psalms. And you'll find out that as you read in Psalms, that praise and worship happened even when it wasn't convenient. Even when it wasn't convenient, even when things weren't going great, David knew it was time to praise God. Chapters 146 through 150, it's the main focus. Each chapter is started and stopped with praise the Lord. And I was reading through all those chapters, and time does not allow us to go into those chapters today. But you'll find out that in those chapters specifically, there is praise being offered up to what for what God has done, for the great things that He has done, for the things that they have the authors have been delivered from, and the things that they have been given. But not only that, praise is being offered up for the God He is, for who He is. You know, a lot of times we want to thank God for this and that and when He meets our need, but how about just thanking God for who He is? Thanking God for being our dad, amen? Thanking God because you know what? Our earthly fathers and mothers, they tend to our needs and have in the past, and some of us may have lost them, may have had troubles there, but in either way, whether you had a good parent or you didn't have such a good parent, there is a Father who is way better than what an earthly father could ever be. You know, I want to give good gifts to my children. I wish that I could hand all these things to my kids and bless them. And as much as I want to bless my kids, our Heavenly Father wants to bless us. He wants to hold us when we need to be held. You know, and some of us think that we don't need to be held. Some of us do need to be held. Some of us need to be spanked because, you know, the Bible does say who the Lord loves, He chases after. And He does that for our own good. And so, as much as I want to be a good father to my children, God wants to be a good father to us. Amen? Amen. And so praise is offered up for who He is. And I'm sure that we can all agree that praise and worship is easier when things are going right. Like, let's say you just won the Powerball ticket, right? I personally don't believe in wasting my dollars on that, but That's okay. But you know what? If you got, what was it, $500 and some million, it'd be pretty easy to rejoice, huh? Because guess what? My house is getting paid off. My car's getting paid off. I'm going to take my wife to Five Guys for dinner. You know? She said probably. You know, you don't want to spend it all in one place, right? So it's easier to praise God when everything's going good. But all of a sudden, life changes, and it's not so easy to praise God. And in truth be known, when life goes crooked, when life goes backwards, when life doesn't go the way we want it, that's when we should praise all the more. Amen? Amen? Amen. I said that's when we should really get our praise on. That's when we should get the praise break thing going. Where I was listening to Marvin Sapp this morning, And I almost thought Christina came into the bedroom, Holy Spirit fell on me, and I started to just kind of get going in there as I was getting dressed, and I'm sure it looked really good, but it didn't matter, because that's the time when the Holy Spirit comes on you and says, come on, let's praise God. Now is the time. Now is the time. And so you might be in the middle of an issue, and the Spirit of God will say to you, now is the time to praise God. And we could go back and we could see and we could look and we could study. We could see what David did. But I want us to go to Acts chapter 16. That clock back there doesn't mean I only have 4 minutes, right? 2:10s? All right, because you're going to be late if I only got 4 minutes. Acts chapter 16. It's a story about Paul and Silas. And I'm not going to read so much, but I want you to be able to follow along. And I'm just going to kind of tell you in my version what's going on. Paul and Silas, you can see in verse 16, they're on their way to a place of prayer. And as they're getting ready to go to this place of prayer, they're met by a slave girl, and the slave girl tells the future because she has an evil spirit. So I want you to take notice. They're on their way to spending time with God. Make a note if you're taking notes. How many times do you get going on your way to spend some time with God? You get ready to be ministered to. You get ready to have some maybe communication, some relationship with your Father. And on your way, distraction happens. Amen. On your way to your war room, distraction happens. Amen. It was pretty funny. She took coffee in there in the closet. If you saw the movie, if you didn't see the movie, I'm going to spoil a little bit of it. She got ready to go into this closet, and she went in there with all her clothes are in there, and she had shoes, and she had this and that. And so she got in there, and what'd she do? She got distracted by the clothes, and she got distracted by the shoes. She remembered things, and then she got hungry, and so she decided she was going to eat. We're on our way to the prayer room, and you can almost guarantee if you're on your way, there's going to be some kind of distraction, but you got to set your mind to it. If you're on your way to praising God and spending time with God, you got to set your mind. So they're on their way, and this girl that tells the future, because she had a spirit upon her, meets them. And the Bible says that she earned her slave owners a lot of money. So profit was being made off of an evil spirit. And the spirit, in verse 17, I like this because guess what? Our God is so great, he's so powerful, that even evil spirits have to take notice of who he is. Amen? And the spirit recognized whom they were representing and what their purpose was. He said that they are servants of God, servants of the Most High God, and they're telling you how to be saved. So this girl's following them around, and she's telling all the people that they're ministering to as they're on their way that, hey, these are servants of the Most High God. They're trying to tell you how to be saved. Well, you have to remember, she is on the other end of the spectrum. She's trying to exalt somebody else that's not worth exalting. Amen? So she's going to do far more than what we're just grabbing here. She's going to go on and beyond that. And it said in verse 18 that she did this for many days until Paul became greatly annoyed. Till Paul became greatly annoyed. So for a long time, this girl kind of followed him along, went along with him, kept saying this. And you know how aggravating it is when you're trying to talk to somebody and when you keep trying to talk and somebody keeps interrupting you, or you're trying to, even the person that you're trying to talk to, you're trying to tell them something and they keep interrupting. That's pretty annoying, right? Well, they're trying to minister. They're trying to bless people. They're trying to tell people how to be saved. And this girl keeps going on in the background until he gets annoyed. And finally, when he gets annoyed of it, he turns around and he commands the spirit to come out. Now, I wasn't going to go there, but here's something that we, the church, need to do more of. I'm going to stay on the praise and worship, but if we are in tune with God, when the enemy continues to annoy us, all we have to do is turn around and say, get out. I don't need to be annoyed by you. You don't have any strength over me. You don't have, because why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. I said, greater is he that is in me. And when you start to say the word of God, when you start to speak the word of God out loud, guess what? The enemy has to bail out. He has to run. And you know, sometimes we forget that because it's easier for us to think it than to speak it. And we can think things like, well, I don't want to hear myself pray. I don't want to hear myself speak it. But I found out lately that I'll be just, okay, you want to fight, devil? You want to go? And I'll begin to pray in tongues because guess what? When I start to pray in tongues, he gets really nervous because he don't know what I'm saying. But the Holy Spirit knows what I'm saying. And so then I'll get going there. He'll start to get afraid there. And then I start throwing the word of God at him. And I start beginning to say, hey, greater is he that's in me than you. So you need to get out. And I know that I was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that there is no weapon formed against me that's going to prosper. And guess what? All of a sudden, I started to just get the victory. Amen. And so they said, in the name of Jesus, come out. Now, verses 19 through 23, the owners saw their hope of profit was gone and seized them and dragged them and accused them and tore off their clothes and beat them. So a lot of things happened in those verses. Their profit was taken away from the owners of the slave girl. So Paul and Silas, they're seized. Now remember, they weren't seized because they were doing something wrong. They were doing what's right. How many times when we're doing something right, it seems like when we're attacked the most? Amen? When you're doing it right, it seems like all of a sudden there's got to go. Because guess what? We've heard it before. If you're doing something wrong, why does the enemy have to come after you when you're doing something wrong? He's winning. He's getting what he wants. But when you start to do something right, then you start to get seized. You might get dragged out. You might get accused. Amen? How many of you have been accused when you've done something out of a pure heart? I hope that you can manage to keep your clothes on, but their clothes were tore off them. And they were beat. And the Bible says that after they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to keep them securely. I'm trying to sneeze, but I'm not gonna. Thank you. So he threw them into prison, and the jailer tried to keep them securely. He was commanded to keep them securely. He was commanded to tie them up. He was commanded to keep their feet in stocks. But guess what? When that happened and he took them in, he put their feet in stocks, their hands went up. And when their hands go up, guess what, Bruce? You can't chain me up, brother, because I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. That needs to be the automatic response. When you start to get muddied down, when the chains start to get around your feet, when you start to get in stocks, and it said their feet were in stocks, but not their hands, amen? So what? My hands go up. My hands go up and I begin to bless God. I begin to praise God for who He is. And guess what? As I do that, I'm not looking at the chains that bind me. I'm not looking at my stocks anymore. I'm looking at my Savior. And I thought it was great. Okay, you're good.
No.
Yeah, you're good. Because I'm going to praise my way out of it. And I thought it was great because Pastor Dan said this morning, let's raise our hands. Let's raise our hands. And he had the congregation as a whole raise their hands and begin to bless God. And as I thought of that, that became so real to me. That when your feet start to get muddy, when you start to get into something that bogs you down and you start to get tired. Because you know what? Whether you see it as your physical body getting chained up or the very foundation, right? I was thinking about that this week. Feet take a lot of abuse, amen? Like, I go out to fix the fire some days, and I don't put the socks on and just throw my shoes on and go out because I have outdoor wood stove. So, and I leave I call them man slippers. No, I don't wear Crocs. You see me wearing Crocs? I said I got man slippers. I got an old pair of sneakers. I don't know wear Crocs. So I put my man slippers on. To me, that's not even cool. But if that's your style, that's good. But I just can't see me riding a Harley with Crocs on. So anyhow, I put my man shoes on, my old sneakers. They're Adidas. They're gray. And I head out. And it's cold. And I was thinking, man, my feet take a lot of abuse. But that's where the enemy would like to start, is in your foundation. Because you know what? If your feet don't feel good, that affects the rest of you. That tends to affect how you motivate yourself, how you move. And so when your foundation isn't good, guess what? You'll be still, amen? But when your foundation is solid, you're ready to go. So if your foundation starts to get bogged down, your hands need to go up, come on. I said your hands need to go up because you're going to this place where you go, I surrender all to thee. I surrender my blessed Savior. And so our hands go up and we begin to worship. And as we begin to worship, things begin to change. Amen. And I got to believe that Paul and Silas, they started out having a good week. And all of a sudden, their day went bad. They started out with their personal time. We start out with our personal time. We're on our way to the war room. We get in the Word. We get feeling charged. And before we can even get to the end of the driveway, sometimes the enemy attacks us. You know, the car might not be running right. Children might be getting up 5 minutes before it's time to go to school or church. How about that? How about that? We're on our way to church. Amen. We're going to go to the house of prayer. And you get in the car, and guess what happens? You have a disagreement. You have a disagreement over what tie looked good. Your wife thought the black one looked good, and this didn't happen at my house today. So the tie didn't look good. She said you should have wore the green one, and you wanted to wear the black one. And all of a sudden, you're distracted by simple things. Amen? And so their day went bad. And they may have even came to a point in time, and I'm going to have to hurry. Kenny, that ain't going to work. They came to a time where they may have questioned God, right? Because when everything goes good, we know that God is on the scene. But when things start to go bad, we start to go, yo, God, are you there? Because I know that you told me this. I've been going through a personal situation in my life for probably 7 years. I have weeks of blessing. I have weeks when I know God is there. And then I have weeks when I go, God, yo, did you leave? I know you can do this, but why won't you do it for me? But the thing is the Bible says he changes not. Amen? And so I might get to a place where I question, but I'll guarantee you that when I get to that place where I question, especially after preaching this message, the Holy Spirit will say, it's time for you to not question. It's time for you to put into practice what you've preached. Amen? Something that I thought was worth noticing, just as a little side note, that did you notice that the slave masters, we didn't hear much about them until their profit was stopped up? Amen? That, you know what, as long as we're, like I said, as long as we're just kind of there and doing whatever, but once we start to create waves for the kingdom of God, you can be sure that somebody's going to notice. Amen? You might be at work talking about Jesus, and you may have been at your workplace for 24, 25 years and not said anything, and all of a sudden you start to talk about Jesus and people start to notice. And it can go either way. This way was the negative way. How about the positive way? How about the positive way? I've been ministering to some people that I work with, and I'm going, and I'd been praying because I started working where I work when I was 19 years old. I was a little bit unrefined. I know that's hard to believe, but I was a little bit unrefined. I was a preacher's kid, and you know they're always perfect, right, boys? Right? We got that in common. I saw somebody on the front row giving me that smirk like, yeah, right. So anyhow, and I've been praying over the years, God, help me to bring back the testimony that I destroyed when I was 19. And 24 years later, God's starting to do that. And he's doing it in a way that I didn't think would happen. But, you know, God knows how to do everything. And to stay on task, let's go back. So all of a sudden, these slave people were upset. And I just want to encourage you, know that it's coming. If you're doing what God wants you to do, know that you're going to get some opposition. Amen? So as I had stated, when we get put in stocks, our hands should shoot up. Our praise to God should go up. We should begin, and you know, when you begin to praise, you might say to me, well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket or even in a sponge. And if you can't, it doesn't matter, because if you're blessing God with who God is and for what he has done, guess what? All the chords and everything seems to come together, and you begin. And I told you a lot of times, I'll begin praising God with the word, because I know that the word does not fail. I know that the word is never ending. I know that the word goes farther than what I can think, what I can say, because I know that what I stand on is the word of God. And the Bible said that the word became flesh. And so when I begin to speak out the word, I begin to know that the power power of God comes on me. He comes on to my situation and what I was looking at that may have looked different, may have looked like a depressing area in my life, may have looked like an oppressing area in my life, may have looked like an oppressing area in your life, a depressing area in your life, may look like you have no hope. I want to tell you what, when you begin to say the hope, when you begin to praise God, and I start out my prayer and I say, thank you, God, that you have made me the head and not the tail. And I thank you, God, that I know that whatever I put my hand to, you will cause it to prosper. And I thank you, God, that I know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, but I can be prosperous through you. And when I begin to speak those things out, I begin to do something. Like I said, I don't look at the chains. I don't look at my situation, because guess what? Last week, Pastor talked about somebody driving. And when you drive, I did that this morning. I was fixing some songs on my way up here. And Christina said, do you need me to drive? Well, I was looking at the thing over here. And the car went that same way. But it was all good, because I was the only one there on the road and had two or three lanes to skip across. And I got it all back in. I didn't even hit the rumble strips. We were safe. But that's how it happens, you know. You get looking at your problem, you start steering toward your problem. And that's why it's really important this morning, if you don't get anything out of what I say, that when you begin to throw your seed of praise out there, it'll begin to take you out of your problem. And they did that. We have examples. We know that it works. And I want to believe this. I want to believe that they did not wait until the last minute. They didn't wait till they got put in the stocks. They had obviously praised God before. There had been some time. So you know what? If you're new to this, now's the day to start. If you're old to this, how much have you been praising God when you need to praise God? How much have you been praising God when you're alone? Have you been spending time praising God and thanking Him? Or are we all just going, hey, God, I need this, I need that? And you know what? If we start to do this on a regular basis, when it starts to get nasty, it will be an automatic response that my hands will go up, I will begin to thank God, and it won't matter. Because you know what? Sometimes we go, oh God, thank you. I praise you. I still feel the same way. Or we might do it for a couple of days. Oh God, I thank you. I praise you. And the situation remains the same for 7 years. I'm telling you what, I believe that God has got His hand on my situation. I believe He's got His hand on your situation this morning. I believe that God wants us to be people who praise and thank Him for who He is, and that we'll put that seed out there. And as we put that seed out there and we begin to praise, guess what? It's contagious. It is contagious. There are people that I love to praise and worship next to, because when I get praise and worshiping next to them, and I'm not, they're not looking at what's going on behind them, and they're not distracted, and they're really into it, boy, it helps me. I'll tell you a little secret. As a praise and worship leader, I watch you, the congregation. If you're praise and worshiping God, it'll help me lead you better. So if you want to have great praise and worship, you help me. You help me. You enter in. And so when we start to do this, it starts to change our circumstance. And I believe that they had done that. That they knew how to do it, because they, I bet you when they were getting led away, it might not have started out as a shouting match. They may have had to get it going. But as they're going, as they're getting beat, as their clothes are getting, they're saying, God, I know that you're in control. I know that you got this. I know that you are the one. I know that you are the one who delivers. And I believe that as their hands went up, they began to sing. They began to bless God, and probably if they did it today, they'd raise their hands and they'd sing, there is power in the name of Jesus. I said, there is power in the name of Jesus. I said, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Now you're here this morning. You're here this morning. You're here this morning. I did not sing that on accident. You are here this morning because I'm going to lead you to the place where you raise your hands and you go, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. break every chain. You need to come to a place where you raise your hands and you go, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on. To break every. Yes, amen. Sing it again. There is power in the name of Jesus. Sing it with me. Come on. You walk into it this morning. Yes, amen. Come on. There is. Paul and Silas were singing. In the name. Yes. Come on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we're going to sing it one more time. There is power
in the name.
Come on. I said there is.
There is
power in the name. Come on, yes. To break it. Yes. Hallelujah. To break every chain. Break every chain. Amen. Hallelujah. I said there is power in the name of Jesus, church, to break every chain. You can either stay standing or you can sit. There's an old song. There's an old song that said, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a solid rock to stay. Amen. I said, he brought us out of a miry clay. And you know what? When I begin to sing that, when I begin to sing out, there is power in the name of Jesus. My circumstance might not change, but I begin to proclaim that the God that I serve is still in control of my situation. Amen. Then guess what? And you can keep playing that softly for me. Guess what? All of a sudden, the earth began to shake. And they probably started out softly singing, there is power in the name of Jesus. And then as it got louder, guess what? My master, my savior, my bodyguard, my dad, my whatever you want to call God, whatever you need to God to be for you, whatever you need God to be for you, their God, their deliverer, began to make the earth shake. And I thought, wow, how cool that my praise, my worship, my seed offering to my Savior could begin to make the earth shake. And all of a sudden, things start to rumble. They start to rattle. And all of a sudden, the stocks fall off them. All of a sudden, what was around their feet, what could have distracted them, was gone. And they were set free. Amen. Now, I have to admit, probably if it was me, I'd be like legging it on out of there. But Paul and Silas, the jailer, he was ready to kill himself. And I would hope that if somebody was getting ready to take their life, I'd be smart enough to slow down. I'd at least look back and say, okay, I need to minister. But they were ready to go. And as they were ready to go, and as the chains fell off, they saw this guy was going to take his life. And they said, guess what? My praise and worship can spill out onto you. My praise and worship can spill out onto you. And they said, and he asked, he said, I want to know. I want to know about your God. I want to know about the God that breaks every chain. I want to know about the power of the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that he and his family were saved. And here's the coolest thing of all. At the very end, the people who threw them in jail said, hurry up, get them out of here. But Paul said, no. You put me in here in public, you're going to publicly release us. You hear that? You will be publicly set free There will be time to give God glory and honor for what He has done. It doesn't have to be in secret. It doesn't have to be in the dark, because the cool thing about God is that He is light. And when there's just one little spot of light, guess what? It's not dark anymore. Amen. I said it's not dark anymore. Amen. And so that we find out that as the things shook, and in the verses to follow, that the jailer was saved, and that everything was exposed in public, and they were set free in public. Amen. Maybe you need to be set free in public this morning. Take me to that other song, would you please? Maybe you need to be set free this morning, and you need to know that you're a Savior. And I got to believe that as they were going out, they began to sing, "My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace." Hallelujah. Are you in G? Put me in G's. We're going to sing this song again. And in conclusion this morning, if you're here this morning, first of all, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, and you want to know who this God is that I'm talking about, could you raise your hand? I know you're already standing, but I want to give you opportunity. As I told you, Paul and Silas went around telling how to be saved. If you have issues in your life, you have circumstances in your life, but most importantly, if you have not said, "Jesus, I am a sinner." The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that you are a sinner and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you, He will save you and He will take you into eternity with Him. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, well, all eyes are closed and all heads are bowed, would you raise your hand this morning if you want to know Jesus as your personal Savior? All right, that means that everybody in here knows Jesus as their personal Savior. So if you know Jesus as your personal Savior this morning and you've been struggling, you have issues in your life, the prayer team will be around. But I honestly feel like the Holy Spirit saying, listen, if you need to be set free this morning, you need to throw your seed of praise before your Savior. You need to throw your seed. So if you need a breakthrough this morning, let me tell you a secret. It's great and it's biblical and it's godly to have people pray for you and lift you up. But guess what? That same power that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells in you. So this morning we're going to sing our way out. We're going to sing our way into victory. If you need it this morning, sing it with me. And as you sing it, come and bless God and come and get your freedom. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. than grace appear. The out I first. Now if you need your freedom here, sing it with me. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. Sing it again. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, amazing. They're going to continue to sing it. Father, I pray that you would go with your people this morning. Father, that they would be blessed throughout the week. That the Holy Spirit would cause them to remember when they get tired, when they get weak, when they get weary, to look to you. To offer up their seed of praise. In Jesus' name. Be blessed this week. God bless you this morning.